Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to look to the scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning. We are continuing by the Lord's will in Ephesians chapter 6. Today, we begin a new section of verses, that is in verse 10, dealing with spiritual battle, spiritual conflict. Praise God. Friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry at missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. That's missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. Praise the Lord. Hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings to his holy word. Dear friends, let us pray. Father in the highest heaven, thank you for the wonderful word which reveals to us so clearly that every true Christian is engaged in a spiritual battle. Indeed, every person is engaged in a measure, in a degree, in spiritual conflict. And God, we thank you for your provision for your soldiers, that by the grace of God, we who fight against the principalities and the powers, not with flesh and blood, who war with evil, overcome by the grace of God. And so, God, make us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us, and see us through to final victory in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word to our hearts. Open our hearts to receive the precious truth that we find that you have given to us to know and obey. And we ask it in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, this is the first sermon in a new section of verses here in Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, in which the apostle now leads us to understand more fully the nature of the life of a Christian in terms of a spiritual battle. He opens our hearts to see, to recognize that we are called to battle. And we can think of this section of verses really, as one man said, as a call to battle, to recognize the reality of Christian life. That is, that we are soldiers of the cross, in a sense, to use a term, that we are, by nature of salvation, those who contend with evil, who must resist evil, and ultimately who must conquer evil. And we remember, dear friends, that this is exactly what our blessed Lord and God, Jesus Christ, did. He constantly was engaged in conflict with evil. He constantly, every moment of his life, was in a battle with evil, with the evil one, and he entered into this battle as the man Jesus Christ to never sin, and by never sinning, he warred powerfully and crushed the serpent's head. The Lord Jesus Christ engaged in spiritual conflict to the degree and measure of shedding his own blood to save us from our sins. The sinless man, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, always obeyed his Father, and in so doing has brought life and ultimate spiritual victory to his people. Christ has conquered the enemy in his sinless humanity. Christ Jesus is the Lord of all. And so we have great hope that by virtue of our union to Christ, we who are truly saved are, as John tells us we must be in his epistle, 1 John, more than conquerors. That is, we conquer exceedingly. We conquer surely, decisively in this great conquest over sin, over evil, over the devil, over hell, and over the consequence of sin that is pain and suffering in this life. And so we overcome by faith, praise God. And we see that the apostle reveals to us so wonderfully and clearly the real nature of life for us as Christians in this aspect, that is, we are called to battle. Let me share encouraging thoughts with you now by Horatius Bonner. He speaks of the spiritual battle, the spiritual climate of evil that exists in this world. I have told you, my brethren, that there is a blight shed over us by Satan, that the prince of the power of the air has infected the very atmosphere with its oppressive influence. But I would also tell you that above and beyond this unbelieving atmosphere, there is a cloud which God has hung above this land of ours, and which in mercy he still keeps suspended there full of genial showers. It is to draw down the riches of the cloud that we call you to prayer and fasting. And shall I tell you that there is such a glorious cloud floating above you, and shall you not be anxious to draw down upon ourselves the plenteous showers of heaven, that the parched ground may become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water? Impossible. You must surely be desirous of blessings so rich and plenteous. Let then your prayer and fasting come up before God like the prayer of Elijah upon Mount Carmel, even until seven times, and be assured there shall come an abundant rain. The showers of heaven shall descend upon us, upon our church, upon our nation, upon our parish, upon our schools, upon our families. Is this not worth the praying for, even though our faith should be tried for many a weary day and hour? Oh, it is already, to use the language of another, as if heaven had begun to close upon us. How sparingly does the dew fall? How few arise from the dead, and how long is it since plenteous shower of heavenly rain has refreshed us? My friends, what is the cause of this? Has an Elijah stood forth in the midst of us with his word, as the Lord lives, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years? Or does Elijah sleep, forgetting to reopen what was shut up? Church of God, thou little flock of Israel, thou people of his possession, thou art as Elijah. Yes, thy voice can call forth clouds of rain. Arise and call upon thy God. And in Bonner's encouragement, we see that he speaks of the blight likened to a drought which Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has brought in this oppressive influence, this spiritual atmosphere. And so Satan, in this sense, brings upon all this atmosphere of unbelief likened to a drought, and Bonner's call to Christians is to arise in battle and pray and fast and call upon God to come in His mighty power, much as Elijah did at Mount Carmel when he called upon God who sent fire, when he strengthened Elijah to slay the 700 prophets of Baal. He encourages us to remember that God can send a plentiful rain to end this spiritual blight, to bring spiritual victory, and to bless the church of God. Praise God. And so this speaks of the spiritual battle that we are involved in as Christians. And I want to share with you the words of a hymn, a favorite of mine from many years now, about the spiritual battle in which we are involved. It's based upon Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Christian, dost thou see them on the holy ground? How the powers of darkness rage thy steps around. Christian, up and smite them, counting gain but loss, in the strength that cometh by the holy cross. Christian, dost thou feel them? How they work within, striving, tempting, luring, goading into sin. Christian, never tremble, never be downcast. Gird thee for the battle, watch and pray and fast. Christian, dost thou hear them? How they speak thee fair, always fast and vigil, always watch and prayer. Christian, answer boldly, while I breathe, I pray. Peace shall follow battle, night shall end in day. Hear the words of Jesus, O my servant true. Thou art very weary, I was weary too. But that toil shall make thee someday all mine own, and the end of sorrows shall be near my throne. Amen. Praise God. And so, once again, the reality of Christian life in that we are called to spiritual battle. Praise God. With whom and with what are we called to battle? We are called by nature of our salvation because we are the children of light, because we are members of the kingdom of heaven, to war with those of the kingdom of darkness or the reign of sin and evil. And so we are called primarily to battle with evil by obedience to the Lord and in holy living. Praise God. In true doctrine and in true practice for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All done not in our own strength. We would surely fall. We do fall when we rely upon ourselves, upon our own strength. But we overcome and battle faithfully and truly and victoriously in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ that He gives us. Praise God. And so we battle with evil. We battle because we have come into the kingdom of God, and we battle against the kingdom of darkness. Praise the Lord. Again, as an encouragement to us as we begin to consider this issue in these verses, we are reminded that we are more than overcomers. That is, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. We exceedingly conquer. Our lives are to be marked by a constant victory and a great and marked decisive victory, an evident overcoming of evil in our lives as Christians. And again, we do this by the grace of God, in the grace of God. We'll talk later in other times about how we are to fight, how we are to stand. But we want to consider now that in another sense, The battle in which we are engaged, we are reminded by Martin Lloyd-Jones, is not our personal battle, but it is the Lord's battle. Let me share a quote from his wonderful writings about this. "We are never to forget that we are individual units in a great army. We are not fighting some personal private war. That is not the position at all. We are simply individual soldiers in a great army which is fighting a great campaign. In other words, the ultimate issue is not so much my fight with the devil as God's fight with the devil." That is the way to look at it. To look at the matter in this way immediately gives you great strength. Praise God. And so we are encouraged by Lloyd-Jones's thoughts because we see in them and we remember that as individuals, as men, we are not able to fight personally with the devil. He is of much greater power than we are. But we fight the Lord's battle as He has willed for us in our salvation in the strength, the empowerment, the ability that God gives us, and through His provision, the weapons of our warfare. Praise God. And so, because the battle is the Lord's, we conquer. If it is our own personal battle, we would surely fall. Praise God. But Christ Jesus has battled the enemy for us. And so we rely upon Him. We trust in Him. And the outcome is certain for us. That is eternal salvation. And so the sovereign Lord, the Lord of Sabaoth, the master and ruler of all things, God Almighty, the commander, the captain, the conqueror, praise God, battles with His enemy. And as an encouragement today, I want us just to very quickly remember some of the battles that the Bible brings to us, describes to us, in which God conquers triumphantly. Last week we spoke about God's great conquest of the enemy, that is, He conquered Satan, who was the agent behind Egypt and Pharaoh and their devilish power. And so in routing Pharaoh, in routing the Egyptians, in freeing the Israelis from slavery and bringing them into the promised land, God brought about a great victory for His own glory, for His namesake, over His enemy, Satan. Praise God. We remember that from the time that Israel entered into the promised land, though they many times departed from God, their spiritual life declined. They apostatized in a great measure. They rejected God. They looked to the idols. Though their lifetimes were characterized in great measure by unbelief, God constantly prevailed in Israel in saving an elect people, saving some, the chosen ones, who truly believed in Him. And God was working through this remnant, many times through very few believers, comparatively with the general population of the Jews in the northern kingdom and in Judah later. But God was working powerfully to maintain spiritual life. The church continued to exist, though in the face of great pressures and at times great defeats, the church endured. Believers were raised up in every generation. The elect were regenerated. God brought the prophets to constantly call the people back to God. And He consistently did this from about the time of Solomon to Malachi's time, the last Old Testament prophet in this sense, to the time of John the Baptist, truly the last Old Testament prophet. And that is that God consistently brought the prophets to call the people. Many times there was only a small remnant spiritually alive, fighting in God's battle, but God kept this remnant alive in the grace of God, and in doing so, he brought great resounding victory in that his Son came into the world, incarnated. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary. His line had not been snuffed out, if you will, because of evil. The evil one did not conquer in this respect. God conquered. He brought the man, Jesus Christ, to be born into this world to save us. And he brought him, as you might remember, through Israel's long history, through David and Solomon, through the subsequent kings, and even in times of apostasy and severe judgment, banishment, enslavement of the people by the Babylonians and the Assyrians, for instance, later by Cyrus the Persian. He brought about a measure of renewal. His spirit stirred some to God, and God maintained the line of the prophets through the schools of the prophets. The word of God did not fail. God consistently raised up a prophet in those generations to call the people back to him. Praise God. All in the great plan of conquering the enemy. And to God's glory, he conquered the enemy. Jesus Christ was born and came to save us. Of course, in the New Testament, we see the great conquering power of Jesus Christ, the incarnated Son of God, God himself, never sinning, perfectly defeating his foe at every moment, at every step, coming to die for us in his great victory to achieve his purpose of shedding his blood, an atonement for the sins of God's people. He rose again from the dead. And Jesus Christ has been conquering in every generation since his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father. The elect of God have been gathered into the church of God in every generation. And this will be true until the end, when the mighty King, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes back and absolutely in the fullest possible measure for his own glory defeats death, puts it away. The last enemy is defeated and his kingdom reigns, the kingdom of life and blessing, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace and mercy, and it will endure forever. Praise God. And so we see that Christ conquers in his church. He is conquering today in his church. The powerful gospel is being preached and the elect are gathered to Christ in every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And this will be God's work until the end, when Jesus will return in utmost victory, the conqueror of all. Praise God. And so now we want to consider very briefly some other Bible verses that speak of the spiritual warfare in which we are involved. And we find that James 4 in verses 1-4 tell us that we war with the world, that is the fallen system of evil, that is Satan's kingdom, if you will, that exists in this world. This world of humanity contains the kingdom of Satan. And so the world, that word used in this way, references that reality. And we war against the flesh. That is the fallen part of human beings, the fallen aspect of mankind. This involves the fallen nature of Adam for those who were not born again, for those who are not regenerated. And the flesh refers to, for Christians, the remaining fallen parts of us that have not yet been fully redeemed. And so as we war against the flesh, and as we find in 1 Peter 5:8, as we war against the devil, as we resist him, praise God, as we do not sin against God, then it is that we war spiritually. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, as we've been reading, that we war against invisible foes, that is, against spiritual beings. And yet, praise God, we who are but men and much weaker than the demons conquer the demons by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How? As we obey God, as we do not sin. You see, we are victorious when we do not sin. We fail in battle, we lose, if you will, when we sin against God, when we do not love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. But when we love God and obey Him and love our neighbor as ourselves, we conquer spiritually. Praise God. And so we conquer by God's word, by God's armor, as we'll see later in this section of verses. We conquer by faith. We conquer in the promise of Christ Jesus. Praise God. And as soldiers, we are to war manfully and avoid worldly entanglements. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The idea there is that in our battle, we are not to be caught and trapped, if you will, entangled. Think about a wrestler who is pinned by his opponent. In a sense, he has been caught. He has been trapped. He is powerless now to get out of the grasp of his opponent. And so we must avoid these worldly engagements. Avoid being captured in a spiritual way, being entangled in this way by our opponent. Praise God. We must overcome as we are men of prayer, denying ourselves, enduring hardness, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, as we are self-controlled, as we are alert, and as we arm ourselves, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6. Praise God. And so, a few final encouragements from the Word of God. Praise God. And that is that we do not war after the flesh. In other words, this is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. Praise God. And we are to fight this good warfare, 1 Timothy 1:18 tells us. We see, too, that James tells us in James 4:1 that we are to resist and fight against the lust that is in our members. Again, that is the fallen part of regenerated people. And it says there that these lusts, this desire, this prompting, enticement to sin is a war against our souls, but we overcome this. Praise God. We see that there is a great triumphant final battle that the Lord Jesus Christ wars in. We find that in Revelation chapter 17 and also in Revelation chapter 19. And that in this final battle, Christ absolutely disarms and defeats his enemies. And this is when he finally and ultimately judges evil, puts sin, death, and evil, all evil, away. And it is condemned forever. It is taken away from, praise God, the saints of God. Amen. And it's wonderful to remember that the Bible says that in glory, there won't even be a remembrance in a way of the difficulties that we have endured. There is going to be such an overwhelming understanding and acknowledgement and awareness of the grace of God that the former things have passed away. Praise God. All sorrow, as we saw in the hymn that I shared with you, will have been ended. Sorrow, again, comes about because of sin, because of the evil kingdom. Praise God. But that is put away from us. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, I trust that you have been helped by today's sermon. We'll continue in future weeks as God gives us grace to talk about these glorious things, these great truths we find in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Father in heaven, thank you for the precious truth. And we thank you for this overview, this sight of the truth that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We are called to battle. And so enable us to battle rightfully, courageously, faithfully, and not sin against you. And so overcome the world and overcome all evil. Thank you, Lord. Encourage my friends in their fight with sin today, that they are more than conquerors through you who have loved them and saved them in your powerful grace, that your grace is so much greater than the power of the enemy. And so have your glory in the church, Lord, as we conquer in your battle by your strength, by your grace, through faith in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.